You know, you don't just repent when you get saved. It's something that is ongoing. I shared with the boomers class. We're seniors now, many of us here in the church, and we still need to repent because things pop up in our life that the devil wants to cause us to drift away from the things of God. And I see it in the congregation. Sometimes we only see people once a month or maybe once every 2 months or once every 3 months, and the Lord desires for us to be here every single week. Now, we know that that's not possible because things do happen, but what is driving us away? Is there idols in our life? Is there something that's more important to us on the Lord's day than coming and worshiping Him? And if you really want victory, if you really want abundant life, then you have to seek the Lord. You have to obey His word. And when you do that, you will find that He brings you success. He brings you victory. You are able to overcome. And my testimony this morning is going to be about overcoming a life that was truly sold out to sin. Even though I had a good heart, I wanted to do what was right. And I believe that that's why God drew me, is because He sees our heart. What's in your heart? Do you want to do what's right? The Bible tells us that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And I can remember as a young man, I kept doing crazy things, and I couldn't figure out, why is this happening to me? Because in my heart, I wanted to do what was right. I wanted to be right, and I wasn't. I was wrong. And so I believe the Holy Spirit started to draw me unto Himself. I'm going to go back to when I was a teenager. I really didn't start getting into trouble until after I graduated. I was 17 years old when I graduated, and I got a 350 Honda motorcycle for my graduation. I was the first one in my family to graduate. My dad was pretty proud of me, and he actually bought me half the bike. I had to pay for the other half, but I didn't mind. It was quite a thrill for me to have that bike, but that was probably the beginning of my woes. It got me in a lot of trouble, and I was raised up in a home where we didn't have any church affiliation. And I wasn't raised up in church, with the exception of my grandmother used to take us. Now, I was just a young boy. I was probably somewhere around 8, 9 years old. And she started taking us to St. Paul's Episcopal. And the only thing I can remember about St. Paul's Episcopal, because I was a young kid, is when you walked into church and you walked down the aisle, you had to make a sign of the cross and then take your seat, and then you didn't say a word. And I mean, not a word. Some of you may have been in churches like that. And then all you did was get off your seat and kneel down and pray when the guy prayed and sat back up. And they did that 3 or 4 times, you know, throughout the service. So that was my church experience. Didn't know nothing about Jesus. The only time I can remember, one time we watched a movie. It was called The King of Kings. And it was about Jesus. So I knew Jesus, and I believed there was a God. And so I knew that He was His son, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know the gospel story. And it's the gospel that saves our souls. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, and that's us. And so there's power in the gospel, but I didn't know the gospel message. I didn't know what it meant to be saved. I can remember when the man first told me about saved, and I said, saved? What do you mean saved? I didn't understand that. And then he explained it to me. In our home, my father was a drinker, and you know, my father was a very, very good man. Man, he had a big heart. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He'd do anything for you. I come from a good line there. And I believe that that's where I got my heart, and God seen my heart, and I was willing to go with the Lord. My dad didn't know the Lord. And so he got tied up in bondages. Any of you kind of understand how that happens, you know? When you don't know the Lord, you start getting tied up in bondages, and there are so many different kinds of bondages that keep us from the Lord. And he got addicted to it. He got addicted to alcohol. I can remember as a young man, we'd have to go get his beer out of the refrigerator, and we'd pop the cap off of it, and we'd always take a swig of it, and I acquired a taste for beer. And so when I got old enough to where I was through high school, and I didn't stay in the house too long after that because we weren't getting along. I wanted to do my thing, and my dad wanted to try and keep me straight, and it just wasn't working. He always says, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." That don't work. That don't work when you start getting a little bit older, does it? Might work when you're little, but it doesn't work when you get older. And so I started doing the same things. And and then I remember about a year later after I graduated, I bought this car. It was a 1968 Roadrunner. And that became the love of my life. That was my idol. I love that car. And I would take that car out at night, and I'd find out where the parties were at, and you'd go to them. And I remember my one real good friend, well, I worked with him. He was my running partner. And we'd go to the bars together and everything else while he started getting into drugs. And I remember one night he told me, he says, "This little pill will get you as drunk as a case of beer." And I thought, oh, he's trying to get some money out of me, you know. I didn't believe him, you know. But I gave him what he wanted, and I took that pill. And that was the beginning of a downhill plunge for me. And it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a good thing at all. And I remember one night I had this real bad experience, and I remember going home and I said to myself, I will never, ever take another drug. I had determined that in my heart and in my mind. But you know what happened, don't you? It took about a month, and we're out at this party, and house was full of guys and girls there, and we're drinking and carrying on, and next thing you know, the drugs started floating around. Next thing you know, I'm taking this pill again. And I didn't know how I got home that night. But obviously, my buddies brought me home, and I was living at my friend's house at the time, and they put me on the front porch. And I woke up in the morning, and the sun was in my eyes, and I reached up to put the sun out of my eyes, and next thing you know, I roll over and I'm in the bushes. It was something. And my first thought is my car over there? I remember looking over in the driveway and I said, oh no. But I really believe that this is when the Holy Spirit started to draw me to himself. And I said this to myself. I said, Bill, you have no control over your life. The very thing you said you never do, you do. All you have to do is be in the right place at the right time, and you'll do what you don't want to do. I was chained to that, you might say. That's how the enemy works. He wants to destroy our lives. He wanted to destroy my life. But God looked upon my heart, I believe, and knew that I wanted to do what was right. And so I made a proclamation that day, laying there in the bushes. I said, I'm going to start listening to this man at work. His name was Bob Bowman, and he was a Baptist brother. And he used to go around talking to everybody about the Lord. And they told me, they said, ooh, you better watch out for Bob when I first hired in there, because he's one of those religious fanatics. And so I kept my distance from them until God started dealing with my heart. So I went to Bob, and he started talking to me about the Lord. And again, he brought up to me about being saved. And I didn't know what that was, and he explained it to me. And then he talked about me being a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, I know I'm a sinner. You don't have to convince me of that. I know that. And he said, all you have to do is confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. And he had shared different scriptures with me. I remember he gave me a little Bible. I call it my Bible for quite a while. It was a little 2x2 book. It was red, and it had 24 scriptures in it. And the one that convicted my heart was Matthew 6:24, and it said, for man cannot serve two masters, for either he'll love one and hate the other, or he'll cling to one and despise the other. And I realized that I was serving two masters. I wanted to go and do what the Lord would have me to do, but there was so many other things that I wanted that I wasn't letting go of. And you know you have to let go of your life. You've got to let go of your life. You've got to be willing to totally give your whole life to the Lord. But at that time, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to give my whole life to the Lord. So anyways, Bob shared this verse with me. It was Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. I was living out in Smith Creek at the time with my sister, and I went home, got off at 8 o'clock in the morning, went home, and to my knowledge, that was the first time I ever got on my knees in front of my bed and prayed. And I asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. I did what Bob asked me to do. Got back to work. I got up that night and I said, well, I guess I'm saved. You know, I did what he told me to do. And I feel a little bit better, so I guess I'm saved. I get back to work, and I'll tell you what, the hounds from the pit started chasing after me. And they wanted to get me. We used to stop at Pete's Bar all the time. A lot of you in here aren't old enough to remember where that was, but that was our daily stop there. And they kept hounding me and kept hounding me and kept hounding me. I was making up excuses. No, I don't want to go. Don't want to go. What, you sick? No. Finally, they says, come on, we'll buy you one. So I gave in. And I went back to Pete's Bar. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I'm sitting there at the bar stool, and I've got a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer in my hand. And I started drinking this beer. And I said to myself, I said, Bill, you ain't saved. If you was, you wouldn't be sitting here doing this. But I didn't stop seeking the Lord. I continued to seek him. And then that same year, I bought me a 1972 brand new Harley Davidson. And so I was really getting a little bit, you know, on the wild side there. And I think when I bought that bike, the Lord said, I better speed this process up, because if I let him go the way he's going, he's going to kill himself. And I really do believe he sped the process up. And so one night, me and my buddy was out. We had been drinking all day long. And we got off at 8 o'clock in the morning, been drinking all day long, and we decided to go down to the Blue Water Bowl and listen to the band there, because they had dancing and that. We figured maybe we could pick up some girls or something. And lo and behold, you guys aren't going to believe this, but some of you know, I met my wife there. Isn't that amazing how God works? I'm not going to tell her story. Maybe sometime she'll be able to tell her story, that why she was there. But she was a Christian. And I saw her. She had long blonde hair, and she had a real nice shape, you know, and that's what I was looking for. So, You know, I went over and asked her, I said, "Do you mind if I sit down?" And she said, "No, go ahead." So I sat there and we started talking, and then we had a few dances together, and I tried to get her to go on my bike with me. And she said, no, I don't know what kind of excuse she gave me, but she wouldn't go. And that was God. There's no doubt about that. But I got her number, and I started, I called her the next week, and we started seeing each other. And after I had been with her a couple of times, I went back to work to Bob, and I said, "Bob, I think this girl's a Christian." And he said, "Well, why don't you ask her?" And I said, "I'm going to." So I asked her if she was a Christian, and she said yes. And then she told me about her family and about her dad, wanted me to meet her family. And she said, "But I want to tell you one thing right now. When you meet my father, he's going to talk to you about Jesus." And I said, "More power to him. If he can show me how to get to Jesus, nothing would make me happier." And so there was something about her family. There was something about her home. The presence of the Lord was there. They were Christian people, and the Spirit of the Lord was there. And I sensed that, and I felt that, and I began to get a longing for that. I wanted to be saved. I wanted my lifestyle to change. I did not want to keep doing the things that I was doing. And so, on the morning of May 15th, 1972, I was at work. It was the last break of the night. I worked midnights. And I went back and I sat with Bob. And Bob opened the Bible up. And he asked me that question again. He said, "Bill, wouldn't you like to be saved?" And I said, "Bob, you know I'd like to be saved." And he said, "Well then, Bill, all you have to do is believe this." And he gave me Romans 10:9 again. And I was absolutely mad. I mean, I was mad on the inside because I wanted to be saved so bad. And I knew Romans 9 and 10 didn't work. I'd already tried it. I knew it didn't work. And I walked back to my machine, and we made battery cables at Prestolite there, and I used to have to solder them. And I'm standing in front of the solder pot. I like this part. Dale Goulette and Ellen, they could tell you this story 100 times over because they've heard it 100 times over. But I stood in front of that solder pot, and I clenched my fist just with like this, both hands stretched out. And I looked up towards those rafters at Prestolite. And in my mind, I pictured a picture of Jesus on the cross. And then I said these words. I will never forget them. Till the day I get to heaven, I said these words, "I believe, God. What more can I do? I believe." And when I said those words, the Holy Spirit, and I can't explain it. The Bible says the wind blows where it listens and you hear the sound thereof. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You don't know where it's coming or where it's going. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works. And I knew that God had touched my heart and my life. And I was a changed man. And the scripture says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new." Everybody has a different testimony. Everybody God deals with according to you. And it's all different. We all don't get it the same, do we? We get salvation the same, but as far as what happens to us, depending on our life and what God's dealing with, things are different. But I wanted so bad not to drink anymore. And God knew my heart. And that morning when I accepted Jesus Christ, I gave up drinking. I don't even know if I gave it up. I just stopped. And I never had another drop again from that day to this. That's the power of God. That's just the power of God. And again, when we search for God with all of our heart, He changes our life. That's what he wants. He wants our whole heart. He doesn't want us half-hearted. And right now, some of you people out there are dealing with issues and things. And I know the word this morning that Pastor Bill spoke was idols. What's in our life? What's drawing our attention? What are we spending our time with? And especially, there's something about the Lord's Day that I'm fanatic about. I believe he created this day for us to worship him. And if we don't do that, I believe we're allowing things into our life that are controlling us that God doesn't want to be there. We need to repent and say, God, I know that this day is holy. Isn't that what he said? This is a holy day. And when we honor him and worship him on his day, his spirit will move among us just like he did here today. And you will see the awesome, mighty power of God ready to deliver. Whatever it may be, all you have to do is give it to him. Repent. Say you're sorry. Lord, I've let this in my life. I repented this morning here because there's something that was bugging me a little bit. I felt like I'm paying a little bit too much attention to that and not to the Lord, especially on his day. And truly in my heart, I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I believe that I'm going to go in a little bit different direction here, kind of bring it up to today, because a lot of you know that I had gotten the COVID virus, and I got very, very sick with it. And at the very, very lowest moment, I couldn't even pick myself up. I had just went to the bathroom, and I couldn't pick myself up. And I'm holding on to the back of the, I've got a little buildup part on the tub, in between the toilet and the tub, and I'm trying to get myself up on that, and I slipped off and I fell onto the tub, and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't breathe. That was my problem, is I couldn't breathe. And in that moment, the Lord gave me, I call it a vision. I don't know what else to call it. And I was in heaven. And I want to tell you right now, heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. And we all want to go there, believe me. Heaven is wonderful. And I went into this room, and the building was just absolutely magnificent. I think about when he talked about the gates of the city, and they were of emeralds and jaspers and ruby and all these magnificent colors. And the most impactful thing about it all was the feeling that I had. I was just overwhelmed with love and the presence of the Lord. And I didn't see the Lord, but I felt this overwhelming joy that I had. I was so happy. I could have very easily stayed there. But God wasn't done with me yet. And I know he's not done with me yet. And I believe that God wants to use me in this body of believers. I believe Pastor Bill believes that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have me where I am right now. But God has showed me many, many things over the years. That is 49 years that I've been serving God. And so in the midst of that, I knew I was coming back. And I had a verse that I was standing on, and it was in Ephesians 6. And he said, "And having done all, to stand." And I was standing on the word of God and believing God had work for me yet, and I wasn't going to stay where I was. But anyone who's had anything like that, you would gladly go in a heartbeat. That's how Paul was. Paul saw it. I figured Paul must have been in the second heaven. Paul was in the third heaven. He saw things he couldn't talk about. And the Lord's allowed me to talk about this, so maybe I didn't get all the way up there. So, I started serving the Lord at a young age. I was 20 years old, almost 21, when that happened. And then certain things happened in my life to make me the person that I am today. And I don't say this as any part of me. If you're thinking that it's because of me that any of this is the way that it is, you're totally wrong. It's only because of what God has done. I could do none of this on my own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he had changed my life. So immediately, I started fellowshipping with Bob and two other believers at work. Every lunch hour for 20 minutes, we had the Bible open and we were sharing scriptures. Now, this is very, very important because what it did is established me in the Word of God. And this is what you have to have. You know, Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. And then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Moses said, write this word on your doorpost. When you lie down, have it before you. When you rise up, have it before you. So we need to be in the Word of God. And I had a good mentor that got me into the Word of God. And I believe with all of my heart that it was the Word of God that has made my walk steady and kept me where I'm supposed to be, because I took the Word of God and I hid it in my heart. You cannot do this. I don't care who you are. You cannot do this on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, which uses the Word of God to break the bondages, to set you free from any addiction. And there is absolutely no addiction that Jesus can't set you free from. You know, you can go to all the clinics you want. You can pay big money out. And I've seen it happen many times over. Might work for a month or two, maybe even a year or two. And then all of a sudden, these addictions start flooding their way back. But when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. I'm free indeed. I never went back to that. So, getting into the Word of God. I put down here four things that helped me in my Christian walk. First was my fellowship with believers. My quality time was spent with Christians. And in 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible tells us that we are to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. So you have to come out from among them. I couldn't go back. I had two real close friends that I drank with. I couldn't go back. They tried to get me. They come by Presolite at 4 o'clock in the morning. They slipped a beer through the fence and said, come on, Bill, have a drink with us. And I said, no, thank you. Jesus saved me from that. That was my exact words. Jesus saved me from that. You got to come out from among them. You can't keep going back to the same places. The Lord might send you back later on when you're full of his Spirit and full of his Word, because that happened to me with me and my father and my mother. And I had to go back to a place to honor them. But I was full of God's Word and full of God's Spirit. So you spend quality time with Christians. What better place is there than the house of the Lord to spend quality time with one another? We need to get to know each other. I know sometimes it's hard when you start to get as many people as we do. But when you're going through the halls, greet one another. And let the love of Jesus Christ just come forth from us and bless one another. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Okay, the second thing was getting into his Word. I've already kind of mentioned that. But as a young man, I didn't know the Word of God. My little Bible, 24 verses, you know, and I probably only known three or four of those, you know. So I didn't know the Word. So my brother Bob that led me to the Lord, He asked me if I'd like to go to night school. I said, yeah, I'd love to go to night school. And so we started going to Detroit Bible College down in Detroit. And he was in college. We were just taking night courses. And I remember my first book was 1 Corinthians, and then we did a Bible survey, and I started to learn and study the Word of God. And it was getting into my heart and into my life. And I can remember also taking this memorization course. It was called The Navigators. I don't know if any of you has ever heard about that. It's from the Navy, and they send it to the Navy shipmen. Well, I got that. I still got the book to it. It's pretty neat. There's 80 verses of scripture, and you had to learn those scriptures. You had to cross every T, dot every I, have every comma in there. It had to be perfect. And I remember one time I got a perfect score, but for the most part, I was getting, you know, in the high 80s or 90s because I was studying the Word of God, and I began to memorize the Word of God. And David said, hide my word in your heart so I won't sin against you. And so I was getting the Word of God in me. This is important. If you don't know the Word of God, you are struggling. I've often said, in a group of people like this, probably, and this is a good church, so. But there's a lot of people in church that probably couldn't quote you 10 scriptures. You know, most of us know John 3:16 and maybe throw in another one or two, but that's all we know. That's not good. You got to get into the Word. It's the Word that will deliver us. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful. And that's what gives us the ability to overcome whatever it is that's trying to take control in our lives. The Word of God. So just ponder on that and think about that. How much of the Word do I have in me? And if you don't have very much, start getting up in the morning and taking a few minutes, or at night taking a few minutes, and make sure every day that you're in the Word of God. And I did have a verse of scripture for this, 2 Timothy 2:15. In the King James it says, study to show yourself approved of God, a worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or in the New King James, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. We all should be workers that don't need to be ashamed because we are studying the Word of God. Study means that you take a little bit of time. It's just like going to school. Every day you study a little bit. Same way with the Word of God. Every day we should be studying His Word. Then the third thing that I believe established me and kept me strong in the Lord and kept me, and that's another thing I need to say, is I haven't been in and out. You know, I haven't gotten discouraged. I've got discouraged and I've had problems, but they haven't led me away from the church. I always, always, always came to church on Sunday if I was here and could do that. And I was faithful to the house of God. I like David's verse. He said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Isn't it beautiful? When God shows up and His Holy Spirit begins to move, and God loves it when we worship Him. And then He says, don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes, you know, when they sing a little bit too long for us, we get a little weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Just continue to praise Him. Offer Him the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving praise unto His name. That's what we need to do. And if we will do that, you'll be amazed what God's going to do. He will absolutely change our lives. So we need to attend church, unite with the body of believers. And we went over this on Wednesday night here, just before we went into this new series. But Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's building up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And believe me, you all know that the day is approaching. These are the last days. God is going to pour out the latter rain, And we're going to see the glory of the Lord fill the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that this place is, we're setting ourselves up for the glory of the Lord. We're not like your common Joe church, you know. We don't come in here and sing three songs and pass the plate and have a 20-minute sermon and it's all done. We don't do that, do we? We worship the Lord, and that's what God has called us to do. That's what he's made us for, was to worship him. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And then the fourth thing, answering the call and finding my place in the body of believers. This is so important. If you are not connected and you've been coming here any amount of time, God wants you connected. You might be a finger, you might be a toe, you might be the hair on the head. But God honors every single part of the body, and you have a calling. And I used Ephesians 4:1 as a verse here. And it says, therefore I, the prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. If you're a believer, you've been called by God, and God wants you to assume your responsibility that he gives you in his house. After I had went to night school for 2 years, I took the fall semesters, I started praying, and I said, God, I'm so filled with your word, and I want to share your word. And one morning, we had a bus ministry, and I was helping in the bus ministry. I got off the bus and walked into the church, and the Sunday school superintendent said to me, Bill, could you teach Sunday school this morning? I said, I'd love to teach Sunday school this morning. Ruth, I took your class because you were in the hospital. And that was the beginning of my teaching. But I assumed the responsibility. I did what the Holy Spirit asked me to do. I filled in. I filled in her for 6 weeks, and then they kind of split up. It was the fifth and sixth graders, and then seventh and eighth, I think it was, something like that. They asked me to take the seventh and eighth graders, and I said, I'd love to do that. And I taught them for 3 years, and then I started teaching the young adults. And I taught the young adults until they got old. Of course, I'm still teaching them. And I want to continue to teach them. It won't be long, and Pastor Bill, I want to say this. Pastor Bill, do you know that in just a few years, I'm going to be his pastor? Actually, he's only going to be 55 in the fall, but he's only got 5 years, and he'll be part of our group. I had to throw that in there, Bill. So we need to find our place in the body of believers. I don't care what it you're doing. I see many, many volunteers out here doing different tasks, and you don't realize how important that is. Just like the cafe, all the volunteers in there, and the Welcome Center, all the volunteers in there. Many of you are connected. You help clean this church. There's also a lawn crew that we do. There are so many things that need to be done in the house of the Lord, and we should be connected to something. God has given you ability. He has given you a talent and an ability to be able to do whatever it is that he's called you to do. And we need to take that responsibility seriously. And when we do, you will find that you will continue to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants every single one of us to do, is to grow in his grace.